What is it? What's in the water, man? People are dying.
It's true. Well, that kind of happens all the time. Somebody pointed out on my Facebook feed the other day, like, hey, folks, you know, all those musicians that you really liked that, you know, partied a lot and abused their liver in the 60s and 70s, they're getting old.
Yeah, now that happens. We are, of course, back in Mark's garage, where it's like it's actually a little temperate today. I don't mind saying.
Yeah, this year as opposed to last year, you hadn't had.
It's like a grandmother's guest bedroom.
Oh,
I mean, it's a little chilly.
Everything's covered in plastic.
Yeah.
With a giant Godspell hand painted banner.
As most grandmothers have.
That's what I'm saying.
25 cats in here.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I thought we were at Shane's house. But seriously.
Yeah, Shane, how many cats do you have now?
Seven?
Seven, he six, says with a question mark.
Oh,
six or seven.
Yeah.
Are you counting other kitty?
Yeah.
Other kitty, the outdoor kitty that adopted us, I include in that.
Get them to sound off. Like, how many of you are there?
Like the Von Trapp family kittens.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. Do you remember that? We've never told the Free the Kitten story.
Have we not?
I don't know. We did. We told it.
Back in the day?
Yeah, we told it before. I can't remember what it was about, but.
Basically,
there was a poster.
Well, just a flyer up in the laundry room of the apartment complex I was living in. It said "free kittens." It had a little, like, drawing of a cat face on it, and I just put "the" in it, and then wrote from at the bottom from the despotic feline oppressors.
That's pretty funny.
That was a good time.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway,
we should
move on.
Yeah, let's talk about music. I'm Shane.
Ryan.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Mark.
You should have seen Mark scramble for the mic. He didn't realize we were going to cut to the chase so quickly there. This is Somebody Likes It.
All right, so this is kind of random, but it just kind of came into my head. But funner word, loogie or wheelie?
Wheelie, because there's a connotation with loogie that I don't. I mean, it's a fun word.
It's like hock a loogie? Come on, that's a fun thing to say.
Yeah, but I just my brain it puts in like
Papa
the
wheelie.
End result of hocking a.
Papa wheelie is maybe more fun.
Papa wheelie is
and
fun.
Papa wheelie's got more staying power. You can not the wheelie itself that varies, but like
wasn't Papa wheelie an old blues man?
Yes, Papa Wheelie.
From the Delta. Yeah,
he was with the Blind Melon Face Jefferson.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of them.
Oh, yeah, great stuff. Thank you, Jimmy Kimmel.
It's like my parents try to conjure the name of blues legends.
Oh, God, I'll never get over how
Stacy Hopkins.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
So Kevin alluded to this at the top of the show, but we should discuss. There have been a rash of musical deaths, and I was talking to you about this yesterday. How it, you know, they say it always comes in threes.
Well, you wrote me this, and I knew you were trying to be funny.
No, but Kevin
I was in like a Sudafed haze, and
Kevin was funny. It was like David Bowie, Glenn Frey, and Grizzly Adams.
Yeah.
Well, no, you said the other. It was like,
well, you said,
I said Alan Rickman, but Grizzly Adams was a lot funnier.
Yeah.
Anyway. Because he fits right in he's like somewhere in the comfortable middle, but in the chasm between David Bowie and Glenn Frey's music.
He looks like he's probably a Doobie Brother.
Like early on, but he got cast off.
Yeah.
So he decided to befriend a bear.
Yeah, just live in the woods.
Yeah.
Like, why not?
God damn that. What a great name. Like, if your first name were Grizzly.
Grizzly.
Like if your parents named you Grizzly.
Well, I mean, we know a rainbow.
That's true. A rainbow gay.
Rainbow gay.
Oh, God.
That's a story for another time. But anyway, So, yeah, lots of people, lots of old musicians are.
Glenn Frey.
Let me kill Meister recently, and we talked. I think we talked about this on the show, but today they released the results of why he died. And so Lemmy, who you expect to have died from alcohol abuse or
heroin
20
speed, years ago,
he was a big crystal meth guy. Prostate cancer.
That is so not, that's so not rock and roll.
So not Motorhead.
Well, and apparently Glenn Frey died as a complication of, like, he had a few things. He had pneumonia, and he had, like, a couple of other things going on. And they apparently the medication that they gave him to treat one of the things that he had going on is actually what killed him. So
yeah, that's that's almost as fucked up as remember a couple of years ago when Kanye West's mom went in for cosmetic surgery. Like, I think
it was maybe breast
enhancement or something, and she died from
Joan
septic shock.
Same deal.
Joan Rivers.
Oh, Joan. That's why Joan Rivers died.
Well, and the creative director from South by Southwest, Brent Grokey, died in that dentist chair.
In a dentist chair, right?
Yeah. Well, I'll say this about Glenn Frey and anybody who knew the man and loved him. I feel sorry for your loss, but the Eagles suck a lot.
That's fine too.
I wasn't going to post anything on Facebook. You know, like, I'm sure there are people, and there.
It's such a why are you kicking the dead? Like, just
It was just.
He's talking about their musical output. I mean, you know, that's just a statement of fact.
They might be lovely gentlemen.
Circling back to the overall point, like, these guys have, you know, there have been a number of musicians who just seem to be taking the dirt nap these days. So
speaking ill of the dead.
I'm not dumping on any of their career. I'm just saying that
they're
not
like
living
they got whacked.
Longer, which is, I don't know, pretty true, actually.
Sleeping with the fishes.
Anyway.
Kevin, you have this week?
I do have this week. So the record that I chose for this week is one that I have kind of been intrigued by for a while for a variety of different reasons. It's a Montreal trio called Land of Talk. And which is really essentially kind of the pet project of Elizabeth Powell. And this band has been indicative of kind of that Canadian sound that was coming out around, you know,
mid-2000s.
Mid-2000s.
A lot of good stuff coming out of Canada in that period.
Well, all I'll say about any of that is I had literally zero information about this band other than the name of the band and the name of the record and having listened to it about 1 3/4 way through. Good record. I don't know anything about them.
It's hard to find anything about them. I went looking. I dug deep.
Well, but it's funny you mentioned the Canadian sound because I kept coming back to Metric, but it's not at all.
It's in that similar time frame. And Metric was from Montreal.
Right.
Like a lot of
and they were both
Liz Powell and Emily Haynes were both, you know, at one time in Broken Social Scene, but I mean, let's face it, if you're a good musician and you're in Canada at one point you're rotated into that.
But yeah, so they actually toured with and opened for Broken Social Scene on, I guess, at least a tour. But one of the reasons that this band has kind of stuck with me, other than the fact that, like, what they do is a little bit musically, like, kind of in my sweet spot, kind of stuff that I end up gravitating toward. And it occurs to me, and we should break this down at some point, I might have a type, like, maybe this is like this, like, sort of female lead singer. There are threads of continuity that run through this and, like, Courtney Barnett and, like, Waxahachie and, like, some other stuff that, like, I'm just like, I'm kind of an easy mark for. So I'm just copping to that at the top. But
it's funny that you say that because, like, my thoughts were, it's almost like if you had, like, music scientists and then that's a real thing. If they were all like
in a lab putting together
like
elements from, like, all these good bands,
like,
right?
the band that they're like, let's make the band, let's take all of the elements of everything that Shane Bartel likes and make one band out of it. It's this band,
right?
This is, I fucking love this album.
Well, you and I are on the same page.
I think it's a great record too. The only thing negative, and I'll come back and say just
I have positive. One negative thing too.
The only thing negative is it sounds to me like they're on the cusp of writing that song.
You know what? Their songs are too long. Like, if they trim those songs down,
yeah.
Those fucking choruses are crazy good.
But there's not a Cannonball on here or whatever.
No,
you know?
But it's more of a subtle band. I mean, like, I think Quarry Hymns, which is the first song I heard by them, I mean, like, I think the first time I listened to that song, I literally listened to it like 12, 13 times in a row. I mean, that's an example of a really good hook, but there's no dynamic change in it.
I don't think we've mentioned the name of this record.
Oh, it's Cloak and Cipher.
Yeah, this is Cloak and Cipher. This is the record they put out in 2009. The other little nugget that I wanted to share is, like, so this was right around the time that there was a day party that I was booking for South by Southwest over the course of a couple of years, and I had contact with their publicity company and management and really tried to get them to come down, and they had come down to South By the year before, and I guess did not come down the next 2 years because I asked 2 years running. Anyway, the point is one of the things that I learned was that that Liz Powell had throat polyps.
And so hemorrhaging throat polyps, apparently. Yeah. They were, like, bleeding.
Which is bad. So
that's bad.
Yeah.
Throat polyps are bad in and of themselves.
Yeah. So anyway, so they called it a day for a while, and as of the middle of December, this past December, they're apparently working on some
stuff. Yeah, she put some stuff back up. Did you see the tweet that she sent out?
I haven't seen the tweet.
It's like hand-drawn with crayon. It's pretty adorable.
Hence Courtney Barnett.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
No, they actually, when she had polyps, it was in like 08, and then they got back together and did this record, and then after this, like the last... Because I got really into, and I had never listened to the rest of this album because you told me when I brought up the song, because we watched the video when Chris Cox came and did the show with us.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, we watched Four Hymns, and but you had said, oh, I have been thinking about doing that album, and
sure.
I was like, oh, so I'm not going to listen to the rest of it, but it definitely was as good as I hoped it was going to be, in my opinion, but. The only thing that I could find about them at first was that the last thing on their website or the last thing on their Facebook page was her in like 2012 or something trying to sell her guitar amp. And then like then there's no other updates
right.
after that.
Yeah, right. So I haven't seen that, but I did read like maybe on Wikipedia or something that they're like, yeah, this was the last thing.
That was the last thing until I think it was the 15th of December. Why don't we listen to a song?
Sure. The great challenge that I have with this record is like there are a number of tracks that I really connect with, but why don't we do the title track first?
Yeah, great song.
Cloak and Cipher. One of the pieces that I read on this record was the review that showed up in AV Club, and they were talking a little bit about. There's been a lot of chatter in reviews that you read on this record about how their 2006 debut, Applause, Cheer, Boo, Hiss, was kind of really full of bombast. And
that's a great album title.
It is. It is. But anyway, it talks a little bit in this piece about how different this record is and like kind of how their approach is evolving. And so anyway, the author says Cloak and Cipher's title track doesn't revive Applause's scrunched together electric guitar chords, but it shares that EP's resourcefulness with simple elements. The song shifts between a home recorded feel on the verse and a clean piano on the chorus, which is not something that I sort of found myself thinking about, but when I read that, I was like,
that filter on her voice in the verse.
Yeah. But it does make it sound intimate.
But the cool thing about that chorus is it doesn't turn into a piano song. There's just like one or two piano notes,
right.
You know, to augment it. It's just really well done.
We all sort of like during the break while we were listening to the track, all sort of said to each other, like, that lady can flat write a hook. Like,
yeah, she writes incredible melodies. Not so much with the lyrics. Like her lyrics they hold a narrative about it's like on equal footing as early Beck. Like it sort of seems like she just throws a bunch of words up in the air.
Stream of consciousness.
Yeah. I mean, they don't make a lot of sense.
Well, I will say in the almost two times I went through this record, I didn't notice the lyrics once. Like, they weren't distractingly bad.
Me neither. That's the thing. And, like, I can't listen to
they
music.
Were, they were another instrument. I mean, I know it's her voice.
Well, that's the thing. They're another instrument, and that's why they're not. It's not egregious to, you know, that she didn't spend any time with the lyrics. Or I don't know, just what it sounds like to me, you know, developing a narrative. She's using her voice as another instrument rather than delivering a message, you know?
So, sure, yeah.
And the thing is that it's not like her it's not like her voice is buried in the
mix.
Well,
that's exactly what I was going to say. It's not like it's non-existent, but it's just not. I think a lot of vocalists, you know, want to be.
She slurs a lot, and so you don't really know. But it's good. It's a good effect. It's a good kind of slur.
Yeah. Now this author,
as opposed to like being drunk and slurring your words,
or a racial slur,
or a racial slur.
No, but she's not going to get arrested anyway.
She could be saying racial slurs. Maybe I just didn't notice.
Yeah. Anyway, so anyway, this guy goes on to say in this AV Club piece, he says, Powell thrives on compact arrangements that wouldn't work for, say, Stars or Arcade Fire, some of whose members guest on this album. And her songwriting is still purposeful enough to cut through Cloak and Cypher's indecisive momentum. Now, you know, I mean, maybe that speaks to what you were saying about how some of the songs meander a little bit and maybe they feel like they're a little bit too long.
They go on a little bit long. Yeah, she definitely could. She's in need of some editing. You know, having said that, though, it becomes like, I don't mind long, languorous songs, but it would help the pop aspect of it.
Well, I mean, as much as I liked this, you know, just a couple times I've listened to it, I think it probably would get better to my ear the more I listened to it.
I listened to it several times, and I loved it from the outset, but it definitely gets better and better and better every listen.
There's going to be things you notice, like...
Yeah, and the melodies aren't those, like, you know, like, they are earworms, but
they're
enough
not,
complexity
they're not come up
there.
And like, you know, grab you by the collar and
that's what
yank
I'm saying. There's enough complexity there. Like, to go back to Quarry Hymns, I fucking love that song so much, but I couldn't remember the melody. But then once I listened to it a few times and it clicked, like, couldn't get it out of my head. You know, there's complexity in there. It's not like a, I don't know, I was going to say like a Britney Spears song, but I mean, like, that's, you know, it's not 2004 anymore, so. Land of Talk.
Yeah, should we do another one? Like, is it? Is
I
it,
reckon we should.
I think that's a good idea.
Is it
Mark, did you like this record?
I love this record.
See, I could tell because we were talking about this in the break, and like he just like got this wistful look. Oh, I can always tell
the faraway.
I mean, this first track, I really liked that kind of marching snare groove that has. It's really nice.
I will say one other thing about this record is that, like, some of the most compelling songs on this record feel like they're intentionally started in the middle. Like,
yeah, but I like, and that kind of adds to why, like, even with the languorous length of a lot of these songs, it's kind of why it doesn't make you impatient.
They're like, they're like picking up a conversation that's already in progress. So
can we listen?
Go ahead.
What?
I was just going to say that you walked up to at a party and you're like, oh, you guys are talking about something cool.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Let me get in on this.
Well, and to Shane's point, why don't we do Quarry Hymns?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Can we listen to that song?
Yeah, let's do it. Stone hard.
So we were talking about her lyrics.
And they're all about Corey Haim?
Yes. No, the name of the song is Corey Haim. No, Corey Haim's.
Topical.
Oh.
Like an analgesic. I don't know.
So I want to read some of the lyrics. Okay. Leave it on the hottest day to sink this quarry under. What the murder on the pride would bring, lion, crow, your kingdom. Loaded in the stone heart, I couldn't keep the woods in you. You had to learn about the hardest things, the softest side would leave you. And on days like this, I could take apart my window. So let down, I've been so let down.
Crazy so, with the cheese whiz.
Well, right. Beck. Well, but it makes about as much narrative cohesion as Beck.
Well, right. So when you
early Beck,
when you take
drive
it out
by
of,
Body Pierce,
when you take it out of context, and or like read the words on the page, it hey, does. It sounds completely ridiculous.
Right. But when you listen to it in the song,
you're like, of
no,
course that's
just
what should be there.
Yeah.
Like why would it not be
deep shit?
But at first, I looked up because I couldn't tell a fucking word that she was. I mean, like individual words you could pick up, you know. But I couldn't put together a sentence. I'm like, I got to look up these lyrics. Then I read them, and it was sort of
like I'm no closer to the truth.
It was a dog being taught a card trick,
kind of.
Ready?
The only thing that makes sense is the chorus. He goes, "How deep is this hole I feel I'm in? Seen a lot of lights and I'm done with them." That's sad.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah. None of the rest of
maybe
it.
She's talking couple. About like how she's trying to figure out the rest of the lyrics.
Well, so okay, let me.
they're not necessarily. Let's be clear. They're not bad lyrics.
No, they're not. Like,
yeah, no, they're just nonsensical.
Yeah. They're yeah. Well, it's like when John Lennon made half his career on. Just having fun with goofing on
that's like, true. Yeah. But here's what you know as a song. Like I'm kind
I
of
love
a,
that yellow tambourine song.
Hey, yellow
what
tambourine
is it?
Is
get
something.
Ringo by his bell bottom.
Hookie's bell bottom. Hookie's Yoko's gone. We can party.
John, get Ringo. He's in the corner.
I love it when you guys start doing secondhand comedy from 25 years ago.
Yeah.
No, I think she uses a lot of those words syllabically.
Beautiful song.
Like great song. And like another one of these where it's like you like kind of get strapped in for the ride and like you're on the adventure and like it totally makes sense.
So here's something I wanted to bring up. We were talking about the length of the songs earlier, and this song when I'd listened to it a few times and then I watched the video because I wanted to bring it into the show, and I really missed the length of the song. It felt incomplete, and that's not just because I had heard the longer version, because, I mean, many times I've heard edited versions of songs and been like, oh, that makes so much more sense. But it just felt incomplete. The mood wasn't the same. And I think that's sort of like paramount to what they're doing in a lot of ways is they're establishing a mood. Okay.
Okay.
So, let's move on to a few minutes with. And Ryan, are you taking the middle this week or am I?
I'm taking the middle
this week. Ryan's taking the middle this week. We'll talk about it in a minute. Okay, we'll be right back.
No.
All right, we're back on. Yeah, I've got the selection this week. I'm leaning towards one. I'm actually waffling between one and two, and it's kind of because they're two of the poles of this band. One is Metric and Combat Baby, and the other is The Innocence Mission, Bright as Yellow.
I haven't heard that song in
do that one.
20 years.
Yeah,
yeah. Metric's got a catalog. We can always come
well,
back
okay,
to Metric.
Yeah, if you know, somebody listening to this likes what they've heard from this band. Go listen to Metric too, because you'll probably like them also.
Go listen to Old World Underground, the record that's off of. IOU, the first song on that record, is one of the best songs I've ever heard.
Yeah. So anyway, happened to catch this song, "Bright as Yellow" by The Innocence Mission, got 20 something years ago on the local adult album alternative station. And went out, bought the record. I thought it was terrific. And then I saw the video, and I just, like, wanted to marry that girl. Yeah.
Are you right. Innocence Mission fan, Mark?
I
think we're hitting all the
Mark buttons.
Yeah, tonight.
Mark's got the fireway gaze again.
I definitely had a crush on Karen Paris as well.
Well, let's watch the goddamn video, man.
All right, do it.
Rooms with great joy.
is yellow.
Yeah, ingenue.
Ingenue. Here's the thing, like, particularly when I was in my late teens, early 20s, and to some extent now, like, I had a real thing for these kind of, like, sweet, pretty, but, like, bookish,
wavy
sweet type.
Yeah.
Yeah, wavy, sprite-like enigma girls.
Yeah.
Who does it, though?
Yeah, no, she's great. And
she
fits that
definition to a T.
That song is, like, super compelling. And it's
it's a great song, yeah, too. Like, I mean, you could probably have Tom Waits sing it.
I don't know.
It wouldn't be quite the same thing. But.
No. Also, did you?
Brad.
That's good. That's a damn good Tom Waits.
it's Ryan's best impression.
Gargled a little Ajax on the way here.
Right, exactly. Did you notice that she spent a lot of time looking at her own hands?
Yes.
In that video, I was like, maybe she clean your hands, then you don't have to look at them anymore. I don't know what you're doing. Well, like,
maybe,
why is that?
Maybe
happening?
She's OCD. Who knows?
She's nervous.
We don't know.
Yeah, could be.
You know, also, like the general setting of that it's like, so she appears to be in what might be a house, it might be a classroom, it might be some sort of an art gallery.
It's a structure and they're indoors.
Yes. And
I think it was an abandoned set from an REM video from the 80s.
You're right.
I think you're right.
Yeah,
anyway, no,
they left the projector screen there.
Yeah, exactly.
But clearly she's fetching the song. Like, the song is compelling, and it's like, and it's fun.
You know
to
why it's
hypnotic
and
lilting.
Yeah, you know why it's compelling. And I hadn't heard this song in a long time. I could sing it, but I had forgotten, since I hadn't heard it in a while. The reason why that chorus works is because the way her voice breaks when she sings it, when she sings "Bright," like, her voice breaks every time, just a little bit. It's like, again, we were talking about how Liz in A Land of Talk uses her voice as another instrument. That's a good example of that too. She's
sure.
using her voice as an instrument there to get a specific tonality out of it. You know, people forget about this. And while we were watching the video, I was remembering, like, in between like 93 and 95, like in the early to mid 90s, we really remember like the grunge revolution and indie rock taking over the airwaves for a little while. But there was this really, really weird, about 2 year long thing where, like, I mean, Mazzy Star had a massive hit.
And specific thing. Like,
very specific.
Yeah.
With like, Faye, slow tambourines were involved. Fade Into You was a pretty massive hit.
Oh, sure.
And in no other time, at least.
Well, right around that same time, and it's not a female-led band, but one of those songs that just kind of hit me in the same way, I heard Blue by the Jayhawks today at work. And I hadn't heard that in a while. And, like, it's kind of
that's
mines,
the same time period. I think it came
out
in
95. Yeah, it's right around, yeah, mid-90s, like, and it mines similar territory.
It does. I mean, and this relatively sedate,
emotive, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm specifically referencing the slow female vocal stuff.
Sure.
But that does fit into there. But, like, if you think about, like, if you listen to Fade Into You, there is no conceivable reason why that, other than it's an amazing song, that it should have become a hit.
Well, considering that, like, it was starting to get into the, like, post-grunge, like, aggro thing on, you know, left of the
well, just at any, but at any point, I mean, the song is incredibly slow. I mean, it's beautiful. Anyway, this is a similar thing. Like, this is a really slow song. There's no build to it. There's no dynamic changes in an era known for soft and loud dynamic changes a lot. It's just an interesting little side footnote to this period of popular music.
And I haven't seen that Mazzy Star video in ages, so I don't know if that's the case there too. But, like, she looks like not precious but fragile in that video. Like,
that's a fragile is a good word.
Like
China doll kind of thing.
Well, in an unpretentious way. Like, you, it's like, you would think that, like, and all the guitarists, like, the guitarists, the musicians around her are, like, sort of positioned in back parts of the building. But I kind of feel like when those guys would tour, like, similar to the Harriet Wheeler thing, like, mm-hmm. it's just, like, you would just feel like that she would have to have an extra layer of, like, everybody, like, stay back from the wafy singer girl.
Oh, I was in a band with a wafy singer girl for 5 years,
we'll touch on that in a little bit.
We don't need to touch on it, but it was great experience, and she was great. It was great to work with her, but yeah, stay back. Like she would go off and like drink her tea and like doodle and write in her book.
Oh yeah, it's straight out of the like whatever so-called life situation.
Yeah. It was great. I mean, I'm not in any way attempting to
denigrate,
malign, or denigrate Phoebe Augustine. She was a wonderful person. It was wonderful to work with her. But yeah, I mean, like that cliche that we were just laughing about. Definitely,
it's a cute cliche. Like it's a cute cliche.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong or bad or. And just having seen it from really close up, it's you know like they say like you know cliches are cliches for a reason.
Right.
Let's go back into this album.
Do it. So we've been talking a lot during this episode about the artful female vocalist. And I don't know, it occurred to me that like, so if you could put together, say, maybe four of them, that would be like sort of in a like
super group.
I'm having a hard time following you here.
Maybe not a super group.
Like four
group,
but Tops covers?
Yes.
Hey, I will tell you this. My video at the end has got four female members, so maybe
I assume it's the Robert Palmer thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so like, who do we all put in that same camp? So it's like, it sounds like
Stevie Nicks,
Emily Haynes, and
Metric, and Harriet Wheeler from the Sundays.
Yeah, what I'm wondering is like, who are the ladies that we put in that role of like Shane, the very specific segment of the not just. Maybe that time period that you were talking about with Mazzy Star and some of the other bands
that
were prevalent at that time.
But I think that those particular like
has that changed? Do you feel like it's evolved?
Yeah, because
like,
I mean, you go
tastes
and look
have
at,
changed.
Tastes have changed. I mean, if you look at Emily, if you compare Emily Haynes or you know Feist is a good example of that.
That's a great example.
There's definitely more of a harder outer chill to you know like after that was that very specific moment in time.
Yeah,
like you don't have like
Emily Haynes is even more hard edge.
That's what I'm saying,
even though she's got you know I wouldn't call her quite as wispy or whatever was going on back then.
No, that was very specific. I mean, like, and if we go at like you're talking about this, like, if we reference the video we just watched, she's got that like school marm dress.
Well, no, it's like a house dress or something, but it somehow looks like adorable on her.
There's a vulnerability. How do you say this word?
Vulnerability.
Vulnerability.
Yeah.
With these in that period of time, that I think is sort of like I said, you know, there's a harder shell now.
Anyway, maybe to some extent, bands like Land of Talk and some of the others like Waxahachie or.
Innocence Mission or whatever.
Yeah, well, Innocence Mission to a lesser degree because that was during that time period. Like, maybe that's a...
But you
like
mean people who took elements from that and paired it with other things.
Well, and I guess maybe what I'm really saying is, like, it feels like there is a different, like, there's no question that that Liz and Emily Maines and some of the other ladies that we're talking about are, like, they're musicians first. And so they really put it seems like they put themselves front and center in that way.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so like in that sense, like maybe that I'm just trying to sort of dissect for myself, like, okay, how's the evolution work? Like, how do we connect the dots there?
First and foremost, it's just a climate of changing taste. But I mean, you do have, you see a lot in the last, you know, I'll say at least 10 years for sure, a lot of female performers taking charge of their own careers rather than being like the face singer in an all male band or stuff. You see a lot more control, which is a good thing in my opinion, but it necessarily changes that dynamic without a doubt. But I think the main thing driving that is the, you know, ever evolving popular musical taste.
Well, yeah. The taste and the technology too. And the examples from people like Ani DiFranco, who sounds nothing like this, but
it's a good example of taking charge.
She grabbed hold of the reins and was like, I'm going to do it my own way.
As well she should have.
Yeah.
The Pitchfork review of this record talks a little bit about something that they refer to as the Canadian indie pop, power pop bombast. And do you guys feel like you know what that means?
No. The only thing that means to me is New Pornographers.
Oh, that's
I would say maybe Sloan.
I don't think Sloan's that bombasty.
I guess not bombasty, but they're super power pop.
Yeah, they are, but they're also a generation of bands, you know, before.
Sure.
So when you're saying like bombast and the Canadian power pop thing, I'm like, no, dude, I was really into the scene, from like 2002 through like, you know, 2008 or 2009. Like, I was really into a lot of these Canadian bands. That makes no sense to me at all. It sounds like something they just read somewhere or heard so and then incorporated into what they're writing about. Unless they had a specific references in which, if they did, they should have included them.
Well, and in fairness, like I'm taking this a little bit out of context, but they were talking about kind of the transition between or the difference between that EP that we talked about that was their first release, the Applause, Cheer, Boo, Hiss, the aptly named Hysterics and Tragics EP, and then the record that we haven't really talked about, which was Summer Lakes, which is the one that came out directly before this one.
That's pretty good too.
It's pretty great too. Like, yeah, Yuppie Flu is one of my favorite songs going.
Yeah, it's different.
It is different, and it doesn't. I felt like that one doesn't meander like necessarily like this one does, but this is very this. One of the reviews that I read said that this feels like this band maturing, and I could see that.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. We could talk about the length of the songs, and I brought it up, but you know, as this show goes on longer, I think when you say meandering and I'm talking about the same kind of stuff earlier, I think that it probably will seem less meandering. The longer songs like that seems like they will make more sense upon repeated listenings will reward you with that. Well, one thing I wanted to say real quick, as much as I love this album and I love it, the only two songs I don't really like is when they stray off and get a little crunchy with the guitars. There's two songs. I don't have the track listing in front of me right now.
And I don't know the names of any of the songs, but I know what you're talking about. I like that.
Yeah, I figured you would. I figured you guys I knew that you would, but for me it takes me out of not only the mood, but also I just don't think either of the songs are as good. But I mean,
all right. Well, so to that end, maybe we should listen to one of them. One of the tracks that I really connect with on this record is Swift Coin.
No, I like that song, but there's songs that even get crunchier than
That's true, and we can certainly talk about those.
But Swift Coin is a really good song.
Let's do that. Let's talk about that one next. So here's what transpired while we were listening to the track during the break was that Land of Talk has got a couple of sold out shows coming up in New York, and we were mentioning different rooms in New York, and one in particular that I like is the Bowery Ballroom, and I saw Camera Obscura there, but I didn't remember right offhand that it was Camera Obscura, and so I had to look it up. I remembered that they were Scottish.
So we were helping them out
every
with other
jackass
Scottish
in this
bands.
Garage decided that they were going to throw every Scottish band out
of
me.
Of any note. There are more Scottish bands than those, but yeah. Basically all the ones that we've heard of in the last 20 years.
Yeah. Anyway, it was super charming.
Felt good to me. Warmed me up.
Well, and what I will say is like, it was not lost on me when I was searching for that what that band was. It was that they're led by a charming,
an adorable. I hate to use that word, like
gal.
Yeah. But yes.
Were you going to say ingenue again?
No, I didn't say ingenue before.
I think I did.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Any road. So yeah, but
I love this song.
I do too.
But see, but when I say there's two songs that have crunchier guitars.
Well, that's the moments where they get kind of Yola Tingo-ish.
I just don't think the songs are, neither one of those songs are as strong. But again, I mean, I probably wouldn't skip them.
Hey, different strokes, Mr. Drummond.
Hey, what you talking about, Willis?
All right.
That was a great, great album. Definitely in my top three that we've listened to on this show, personally.
It's a fun record, and I'm fond of it, and like it's what
I shall revisit it for sure.
Yeah.
Thanks for picking it, Kevin.
Oh, sure. Thank you guys for helping me chat about it.
That's an awkward phrase. Very awkward. Very cutting straight to the point.
It's super awkward. Sorry about that. Thanks for having us.
It's like the comedian ending his set going like, thanks for helping me talk to you.
Yeah, it's good. And, you know, subtle. The audience feels like, I was like, is it over? I don't know if it's over. Like, how long is this guy going to talk?
I don't know if they're just asking themselves that or if they're like, you know, crossing their fingers.
Yeah, I don't know.
One more segment. So I'm going to do the current affair tonight, and we're gonna keep on with the adorable females. Why do I say that? It sounds so condescending to say adorable, but
dude, you're a straight man.
The ladies of rock.
And when I see a girl who's adorable, like dude.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but anyway, this is a quartet, an all female quartet from Spain called the Hinds. And they are doing a cover of Davy Crockett. So we're going to watch that video and we'll
like
come right back.
Like for Disney?
Kind of. They reference it in there. It's the Headcoats song. So.
Okay. All right.
Well, that was something.
After all, what, the video?
Well, definitely the video.
Or what, were we just going?
Well, all that too.
Hey, wait, who's the sound designer on that video? Because I didn't get a chance to watch the full
There were some very
credits.
Prominent credits.
I think it was Sherwood Schwartz.
Schwartz.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. That was fun.
I was the Hinds with their song, well, cover of the song, Davy Crockett.
So you said the Headcoats, but isn't it spelled the Headcoats?
It's the, like, T-H-E-E. I don't know how it's pronounced. I mean, I've just seen their name.
That's one of those bands that I've always just seen the name around or read it somewhere by people who are cooler than me.
Hey, you know what that song sounds like? Like 1994 Austin, Texas?
Like, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, without, will you take away the Spanish accents?
Well, what I kept thinking is, like, maybe every generation gets its own, like, mildly exploitative but really entertaining band to watch. So, like the Runaways and the Donnas.
I didn't think that they were that exploitative. I mean, I get what you're saying, but I mean,
I felt a little pervy watching it.
I didn't feel pervy. Like, it's definitely because they're so goofy. I mean, it's four young, beautiful Spanish women playing this like silly song.
It is a silly song.
I saw an interview.
I thought they were about to break out a pillow fight.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, but I mean, that's all on purpose, and it's not like they're coyly sexual. I mean, there's nothing. Well, you feel pervy just because they're young and
like super
and
attractive,
shorts and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's
just,
not
like
they're playing. It's not. There's. I mean, the first thing when you see the singer, the main there's two singers, but when you see her, she goes to the refrigerator and starts like eating whipped cream straight out of the bottle. I mean, like it's not.
Is that the
like,
one with the super fresh shirt on?
Yeah.
Can we just mention the fact that the thing that nobody has mentioned is that gradually over the course of the video, all four of them end up in gold face paint.
Yeah.
And like, that's all. Like, it's just the, like, they're wearing exactly, they look exactly the same. They're in, now they're in the band. And now they have gold faces.
Well, it's because she takes the can of spray paint and spray paints that plaster bust.
Whatever first. The reason. And then it's an interesting progression.
Like, it's just fun.
Yeah. And the fun little fun. Song ends with a giant middle finger to you.
A giant gold middle finger.
And some glitter.
Gold finger. I'm sure that's what it was alluding to.
And some glitter, and then a bunch of people standing around while the credits roll and just kind of shuffling their feet like they're not that good at standing still.
I don't think they are that good at standing still.
It does not seem that they are.
Had you watched that?
By all evidence, Exhibit A. No.
I saw a live in the studio, KEXP, in Seattle. They have bands come in and then they film them. And these, they're just like shy and goofy.
Whimsical.
Yeah. Just you can't just win you over immediately.
Hey, I'm one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that it was a fun one.
I'm waving the white flag.
Nice call, Shane. Like, I'm going to rip the needle off this record. So what's next week?
Susie and the Banshees, Peekaboo.
Oh, all right. Yeah, that'll be a fun one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't know that record all the way through.
I don't particularly know it that great either.
For now.
Are you still Shane?
For now.
All right. Well,
all right, dudes.
For now, I'm Ryan.
Hey, let's see if we can do this.
Mark.
Shane, I think you're out of order.
Just say your name.
All right, I have, but I'm Kevin.
Okay, whatever. I'm Shane.
Still Kevin.
No, I thought you were going to say somebody likes
still,
it because usually
still
you say,
oh,
yeah.
Oh,
you
want to do this?
I'm Ryan.
Let's start. Let's take it from the top.
Okay, ready? One, two, three.
Ryan.
Kevin. Wait.
Shane.
It's a disaster. All right,
one, like, two. No, I was going to see if you said my name.
Some sort of retarded blooper reel.
I wanted to see if you would say my name.
I don't know who I am.
Say my name. All right, let's do this again. Right. One, two, three.
Mark.
No, don't. Now you do it right. I mean, you can if you want.
Oh, okay.
Let's just say, look, all four of us just say a name, and then let's see if we can get through this. Okay, two, three, go.
Elvis Presley.
No, not at the same time, morons. All right. I'm Shane.
Ryan.
Kevin.
And Mark.
This is Somebody Likes It.